is the View from Halfway Down, an episode-by-episode analysis of the Netflix original series, BoJack Horseman.
That's Sebastian. They're the BoJack Horseman expert.
And that was Alexandra. She's the expert on being pretentious.
We try to avoid character and plot spoilers on the show, but minor things are going to slip by as we continue. And of course, this will contain major spoilers up to the current episode. What are we covering today?
Today we're covering episode 3 of season 1. Prickly Muffin.
Prickly Muffin.
It opens in Horsin' Around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it shows we're introduced to a really, really good character named Sarah Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
What are your opinions on Sarah Lynn, having not really seen much of the show?
Sarah Lynn. She's just a mess, a very manipulative mess.
Yeah.
It's interesting, skipping ahead to sort of the end of the episode, how she just... sort of just, like, leaves, and it's not, like, solved at all. Like, it's just, like...
Well, she comes back.
No, I know. I'm just for the episode, mm-hmm. right? That...
Right, there's, like, no conclusion.
Right, as opposed to what a normal, like, sitcom thing would be, where they present the problem, and then it gets resolved, and we return to status quo.
That's true.
It's just, like...
And there is, in that one scene later on, where, they're sitting on the bench and they have like a really nice moment, BoJack and Sarah. And then he starts like pretending like there's credits rolling in front of him and like humming the credit song.
Uh-huh.
It's too bad the episode didn't end there.
Yeah, they should have just ended there.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually interesting. We'll talk about that more when we get to it,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah,
okay,
for sure.
So the first scene, right, is on Horsing Around. It's... showing like the filming of it is what it's more emphasizing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're just filming a cute scene about Sarah Lynn and BoJack. But then between the takes, BoJack goes and gives her some very good advice.
Oh, great advice. He's a wonderful role model. And let me just say, I'm pretty sure that BoJack is the only father figure that she has in her life right now. I mean, I'm pretty sure that she has a stepdad at some point. I don't know if she has him right now or later on, but obviously BoJack's super influential to her.
Mm-hmm. So we have Sarah Lynn, this little girl. She's 12 years old, maybe younger, right? 12 seems too old.
Oh, yeah, no, she's like she has to
seven
be younger.
Or something.
Yeah, I feel like I imagine her, to be around like 7 or 8.
Actually, you know what? She must be 6 because we get a 12 years later thing when she's 18.
Yeah.
When she does the sexy song.
Okay, so she's 6.
She's 6. Yeah, and then there's another 12 years later, and then she's 30. So the math.
Yes, it works.
It math.
It does math.
It math. she's sitting under the kitchen table as BoJack goes and says, and I'm gonna quote him. He was like working the crowd a second before, and then turns to Sarah Lynn and says, "Those people are the best friends you'll ever have. Without them, you're nothing. Your family will never understand you. Your lovers will leave or try to change you." But your fans, you be good to them, they'll be good to you. And then continues as, you gotta give the people what they want, even if it kills you. Even if it empties you out until there's nothing left to empty. Don't stop dancing, smiling, singing, because you have to give the people what they want.
Now, for anyone who has seen this whole show, I'm not gonna say anything, but you already know what that was about.
Okay, cool, great.
But
how mysterious.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm so excited to talk about it, but it will be a really long time till we get to that point. Feel free to discuss it somewhere else though. But yeah, I think that this could definitely explain some of her issues that she has with forming healthy relationships. It doesn't really appear to me that she has any actual close friends or people that actually care about her. I mean, mm-hmm. she talks about how she has lots of places that she could go, lots of places that she can party, but in all honesty, like, yeah, they're mostly, I'm assuming, to be enablers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the whole, like, your lovers will leave you or try to change you, I'm sure that probably stuck with her as well. And, you know, in the next scene, which we'll talk about, I mean, it really shows that she has a... I think that she, I don't know the PC way to say that she's like a slut now.
Uh-huh.
She's a big slut now. Good
yeah,
for her,
that's
right?
True. Yeah, but, so we get the 12 years later thing,
yeah.
Which is the next bit where she's at an interview. And she's come up with a song. new song, new hit single, Prickly Muffin, which is what she was called on the show.
Yes, BoJack called her that in an endearing way as she was a child, and then she turned it into this song, and it makes me really sad.
Can you sing the lyrics for me?
No.
It's, I think it's like, my prickly muffin, it's prickly, and it's a muffin.
Yeah, she says, she sings the chorus, which is just, my prickly muffin, two times, and then she says, the muffin. It's prickly and a muffin.
And then she's riding a space shuttle.
Yeah, and it's space. All like auto-tuned.
It's great. Which is absolutely horrible. Interesting because it's like in the 90s, right?
I think at this point it would have been the early 2000s.
I guess so. You're right. You're right.
Which is fitting.
But she says that she's going to stay sexy forever and everyone's going to love her, right? And then 12 years later, no one cares about her.
No one cares about her.
She's 30 years old. And has lost all of the charm that she kept from her youth. Yeah, it seems like a tragic place, and clearly that she's pretty dysfunctional. I think we get some stuff with BoJack. I don't know how significant it is before we move on to where he interacts with her again.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I want to say first is I feel like the whole transition that Sarah Lynn had, I feel like it could be really compared. It personally reminded me a lot of Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, obviously.
Like, a lot, which is just so sad. That whole thing is just really frustrating.
What's the frustrating part? I'm not really well aware.
I mean, just the whole thing of how, I mean, Miley Cyrus, people just kept calling her crazy and saying that, like, there was something wrong with her or whatever, and it was like, you know, she just, like, grew up, and, yeah, I don't know, just the whole thing. I just remember that was a big thing with my family and a lot of the people I was around. They didn't really know anything about her, but they just assumed that because she wore crop tops now that there was something horribly wrong with her. Mm-hmm. And Miley Cyrus is fucking based. Like, she's mm-hmm. kind of cool. Okay.
That's really interesting. I wasn't really caught up with any of that. I just remembered, yeah, her coming on to and doing sexy music, I guess. Adult music.
Everyone was just talking about her like she went off the rails. Right. I'm like, I don't remember her going to like rehab or anything, or her doing anything like that. Like, she still was like an intelligent woman,
right,
making art.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. That said, I think it might be an insult to Miley Cyrus to compare her to Sarah Lynn.
That's fair.
I feel. But yeah, the comparison's definitely
just similar situations.
There. Yeah.
Similar treatment.
So we're with BoJack for a second before he goes out after Todd has broken his bed. and they encounter Sarah Lynn, who's dating Andrew Garfield.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Garfield's hair is so thick.
It's as big as the entire head.
Yeah.
Is it actually voiced by Andrew Garfield? I didn't check.
I feel like it's not.
Because he doesn't talk like that IRL.
Let me look it up while we're talking.
Okay. So they start having a conversation on screen, Sarah Lynn and Andrew Garfield. And Andrew Garfield breaks up with her because she's no longer relevant, right? Mm. And she takes this pretty well by first just dumping pills in her mouth like the entire time he's talking. Yeah. And BoJack says, is great. He says, are those sugar pills? Because if so, that's a lot of sugar, right? Which is just like, you're taking it in the most favorable way possible, and it's still bad.
Yeah.
Then stabs herself with a rusty bayonet.
Letter opener. Yes.
With authentic Yankee blood.
I think they were making fun of Anthropology and like Urban Outfitters, just any stores like that. That bit was pretty good, pretty mm-hmm. funny.
So I wrote down Sarah Lynn is fucking crazy. she's voiced by what's her name?
Kristen Schaal.
Oh gosh, she's amazing.
Kristen Schaal, we both are big fans. Again, I'm maybe pronouncing her last name wrong. But yeah, she plays Mabel in like Gravity Falls and Louise and Bob's Burgers. She plays a pretty funny character. I think her name's Carol in Last Man on Earth. She's great. I love her with all my heart.
Yeah, no, every character that she plays, I really, really, really enjoy.
They're always just like really, I guess, actually, I feel like this character is a lot different than the ones she usually plays. I feel like she's usually like kind of dorky, very eccentric.
I feel like Sarah Lynn might qualify as eccentric in her own way.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would qualify her as being dorky. I feel that's like a big factor in like a lot of the characters that she plays. I don't know. It's cool. She does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Just perfect casting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a flashback, right? And she ends up going to rehab. Bojack takes her to rehab while she's bleeding and sees her own organs.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back that she showed up at the door, right?
Yeah, she's immediately come back.
Yeah. And she outright says, "What?" Something interesting about the show is that it just will outright state what the characters are going through.
We'll be trying to analyze it. And then in like 2 seconds, they'll just like blanket statement, just say exactly what it is. It didn't work for us.
Yeah. So Sarah Lynn is like, no one has ever said no to me because, you know, I'm so privileged on all these things. And so I don't have to confront any of my problems head on.
So can I just hide here and not confront my problems?
Yeah. And Bojack is like, well, what you need is a father figure.
A responsible adult to help you out. So yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he enables her.
Yeah.
Also, I just remembered something that we totally skipped over.
Okay.
There's a really funny scene with Sextina Aquafina.
Okay.
Who's
a dolphin.
Yes. She's being interviewed.
She's 14 years old.
She's 14. She's being interviewed and about Sarah Lynn. And then they ask like, oh, well, like, you know, something about like, I don't know what they asked her, but she just says that she thinks Sarah Lynn should go to wherever celebrities go who nobody cares about anymore,
when they're done being famous.
Whenever they're done being famous, goes on about this for a second, and then it just flashes to Bojack in his living room, and then he hears a ring on his doorbell, and he says, I wonder who that could be.
It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So actually, something I just realized that you brought up. So she's Aquafina.
Sextina Aquafina.
She's being interviewed by Ryan Seacrest, right?
A Ryan Seacrest type.
Yes. I mean, it seems like a very stylized face.
They always call him a Ryan Seacrest type.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's like quote with.
Okay, I see.
In interviews, he says, "I'm a Ryan Seacrest type," and that's like some lady.
That's great. Well, okay. So what I was getting at is that. He interviews Sarah Lynn back when she is 18, and still 12 years later, he's still doing that. Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest currently is what he's doing.
Yeah, well, that's what's interesting is that, like, the woman.
He like, didn't even age either, which is weird.
That's the next thing. The next podcast we do will be an investigative podcast to find out.
Honestly, I saw Ryan Seacrest, like, on TV the other day, and I got a little scared.
Okay.
I was very confused because whenever I watched him, it was on American Idol.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I was like 6.
Uh-huh.
And then I just saw this man and it's like he just has remained in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Like a statue. Nothing has happened to he hasn't changed at all. He's doing the same stuff. He looks exactly the same. I feel like you were about to say something actually very
woke.
Yes,
I was.
And
well, if I don't say it woke like that.
Woke based.
It's not okay. Well, just that he is still relevant, just doing that one thing, not doing anything new. And then here are these women that show up and then they're used up.
Because if they age even to 30, apparently they're useless.
Ancient. Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
Disgusting.
It's gross.
Oh, so the next morning, Bojack is now acting his role as he was on. Horsing around. He's like pretending to be that dad. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sort of pretending to be in the role of a child.
Yeah.
She's 30 years old.
Yes.
Older than us, significantly. Okay, actually, shit. Maybe I shouldn't. That's going to alienate some listeners saying that 30 is significantly older than us. Man.
Well, fine. We'll be 30 someday.
We'll be 30 someday. And then we can listen to this and be like, man, these naive whippersnappers.
Whippersnappers.
So what do you make of Bojack literally like playing his role of being the dad on the TV?
Okay, yeah, that is so strange. I mean, we all know that horsing around is a big coping mechanism for him, and he wants things to work out like a sitcom and look like that sitcom, and he can't associate happiness with anything but that sitcom. it is really upsetting. I think that also maybe he wishes that he had children, and he's trying to fulfill that. I did notice that at one point, whenever they go out together, there's a flashback in this episode. I don't remember whenever it was because I didn't write it down, but BoJack starts talking to Sarah Lynn, like whenever she's a kid, telling her what he's going to do that day, talking about how he's going to go to a carnival and eat all this ice cream and watch like princess movies and go watch the sunset. And then now that they're reunited, BoJack takes Sarah Lynn out to go do those things. But it's not really like mentioned that that's what's going on. You just kind of see it and can put that together.
An important detail after he says all those things that he's going to go, he specifically says, no, why would I hang out with a child?
Yeah, she so asks he said that to go.
Just to be cruel. Obviously, he didn't go and watch princess movies and all those
things. I don't know. That sounds like a fun day.
Well, it does. It does. Don't get me wrong. It absolutely is. They fly kites, right?
Fly kites.
But clearly he just said it just to upset her.
Yeah, and I think this is obviously a big part of his behavior is like an admission of guilt, which he ends up stating later on in the episode.
Yes.
But he feels really shitty about ruining the chance that he had to have that relationship with her. So he is kind of trying a little bit, but I don't think any of it is really healthy at all. But I think that he thinks it is.
Before we move on, it's very important that we point out the joke that's being made as Sarah Lynn talks about Andrew Garfield. And Todd is...
It's the funniest. It's so great. Funny.
Todd is questioning her as she says, one, that Andrew Garfield loves lasagna.
Yeah.
Because it's Garfield. It's Garfield.
And then they're like talking about how Sarah Lynn gets like really out of control and crazy. And she's like, hey, you should see how Andrew acts whenever his agent schedules a meeting on a Monday.
Because he hates Mondays.
Yeah, because
he's Garfield.
Hates Monday.
As we continue with the episode, it's just BoJack completely enabling Sarah Lynn. She ends up throwing a massive party with a lot of lemurs. I don't know what the significance of that is.
I was wondering about that, too.
All I can think of is the lemurs in Madagascar who like to move it,
who
move
like
it.
Who like to move it, move it?
Yeah, that's all I can think of. BoJack completely enables her, like, and what's interesting is that she's like totally doesn't give a shit about, like, there's no respect at all in his direction.
No,
like, he asked for like a bare minimum and she's just like, no,
she didn't even like consider it. She's barely even listening to what he says.
Yeah. And like, some of the lemurs are tearing down one of his walls to make a, what was it,
sex room,
sex booth slash photo. It was like
it was
a lot of things
weird
at once.
Mixture,
yeah. And they're
probably something to do with drugs.
Drilling holes through a painting, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, if you're gonna be doing that, you know, tearing down walls in my house, can you at least ask them to take down the art first? And she's like, no. Yeah. And he just accepts that because he can't say no to her for some reason.
I guess he's just convinced that, like, by just letting her do what she wants, he's, like, doing her a favor. Like, he's being good to her, which is obviously not true.
Yeah, it does not seem like it's good for her. She's doing a lot of drugs. There is a plot that starts here. I don't want to talk about the end of the subplot where Princess Carolyn, knowing that Sarah Lynn now is agentless,
she's trying to become...
Yeah, it's trying to get Sarah Lynn to become, to be one of her clients, right?
So she dresses up like a prostitute from the 80s.
That's not how I would have phrased it. She looks like a party girl.
A
hip, young party girl.
She looks real, real hip.
Yeah.
Real with it.
Yeah, what's it? So she's not doing a very good job of fitting in, but we'll return to that.
She's doing her best.
Later. But she is doing her best, but like, not in a bad way.
Yeah.
We'll go on.
Mm-hmm.
Diane asks BoJack about... Or actually, no, BoJack asks Diane, what do you think of Sarah Lynn?
Yeah.
And first, Diane gives like a super based answer about Sarah Lynn as a, you know, pop icon and what she means.
Mm-hmm.
And the... Oh, man. I feel bad for, like, we're not going to be talking about her base
take. It would
take.
Just be a long conversation.
Yeah. It's also just, like, all true. It's just, like, you listen to it and you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, the one part of it that stood out to me, like, a lot was just her... She was just talking about, I guess, feminist stuff, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she said something about how, like, maybe becoming more, I guess, sex positive and stuff is just kind of making it to where women can feel better about catering to the male gaze, which I think mm-hmm. is an interesting conversation.
Yeah, but. Where it's like, is it liberation if it's made for sexual fulfillment? Like, it's one thing to be like, you know, all women should be able to walk around topless and mm-hmm. not be a big deal. And there's others where, like, yeah, women can be sexy and have their tops out and, like, show men their... Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I do. It's a complicated...
People shouldn't have that right, too.
Exactly. But... Like, they should have the right, but it's also, I guess, a question of, like...
What's the motivation?
Yeah, what's the motivation? And is it bad if that's the motivation? Mm-hmm. Is it, like, how problematic is that? It's a big conversation that we're not going to have today.
Yeah, it seems like it... Once those movements get appropriated by capital, that it just kind of falls apart into supporting the patriarchy mm-hmm. and the systems that are already in place. But
hashtag deep stuff.
Yeah. The last thing I do want to mention about her base stuff is that at the end she's like, maybe it's bad to assume that Sarah Lynn wouldn't be able to have these conversations about her own work herself, right? And that we have to do that interpreting for her, right? But Sarah Lynn, I don't know if she could have all that complex.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think she wanted the fame. I think that's why she was making those things. I don't think she was intentionally making a satirical take on
I don't think so
industry either. As Diane suggests.
Like, obviously she does have some complexities. Like, she mentions in a flashback whenever she's a child that she really wants to be an architect. But yeah, I think that just whenever, I mean, child actors, there's a lot of controversy around letting your child be involved in Hollywood and stuff mm-hmm. because if they're put into that, they really just don't have the space that they need and the support that they need to pursue their just natural passions and abilities and the things that they're interested in. Because, I mean, before she was even 8 years old, she had all these people that already knew who she was and all these expectations and fans that she couldn't disappoint. So I think, you know, she may have had potential to be, I guess, smarter and be able to do those things and have those conversations, but she wasn't nurtured in the way that she should have been.
So Diane, BoJack corrects her, says, no, what do you think of her, like, now, right? Not her as an artist.
Yeah.
And Diane is like, hey, well, you are kind of, like, enabling her, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm totally not, and then names the, like, three motivations that he has, which is one, this weird, sick dad fantasy. Guilt one, the second, being guilt over neglecting her, in her youth, three, to repair his own, broken childhood retroactively, and then four, all of them at once. So, it does not seem like a recipe for a healthy relationship.
No, it seems like a recipe for disaster. Yum, yum, yum.
Wonderful. Very natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also they end up talking to Todd a bit about it as well. And I noticed that he seems really protective of BoJack, which I thought was interesting. I'm not sure about that exactly. I haven't thought about it too much. But he seemed genuinely really concerned that Sarah Lynn was taking advantage of him. And he was really trying to help. Which I think is cool.
Yeah, it seems that... So it's interesting, because he really is the voice of reason this episode.
Yeah. And he's also addicted to heroin in this
episode.
He's
also addicted to heroin from now on. And because he steps on a needle. he says, now that's going to be a thing. So
it's probably going to be a whole thing. Yeah. It's not, actually.
Yeah, I didn't recall that about later in the season. But... he's kind of just telling the truth. It's like, one, you're enabling her, this is a mess, right? That it's not, like, healthy at all. And he says, like, this is not a TV show, right? You can't solve this, like, on a sitcom.
Yeah.
Which I think is definitely very relevant for how BoJack is approaching it.
Mm-hmm.
He says that all that she needs is some good old-fashioned love, not any, like, you know, actual boundaries or anything.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's, yeah, it's a silly fantasy and it's not going to work. So the next part, I think, is that they go out and he tries to get some gold, old-fashioned love. Mm-hmm. They do all those things that he said he was going to do. Go to the carnival, go to the beach, fly kites.
Sunset.
Exactly. So on when they're watching the sunset, he gives her his one TV Guide award, which is great. And she says, that's sweet, but like nothing else. But they do have, like, I guess, a little bit of a nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then BoJack does a really weird thing where he's, like, pretending that the credits are rolling.
Yeah.
And he's, like, singing the outro, I guess, to his show.
Yeah.
And,
reading off some of the names.
Yeah.
That he remembers. He's obviously watched the show
a lot. Like,
50,000 times.
And, yeah, Sarah Lynn thinks it's a little weird. It's weird that it's just, like, a weird fantasy thing. Like,
yeah.
But, the next, thing we see is that she sold the award immediately. She pawned it, like, between scenes.
Yeah, because Mr. Peanut Butter calls and he's like, why did you pawn this or something like that? And apparently he has the pawn shop guy call him whenever somebody brings in a reward, and he just puts his name on it, and he has all these amazing rewards. He's very proud of them.
He's got 2 Grammys.
Maybe that's because he's a dog.
What do you mean?
Because I keep using the word reward, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know, it's like a treat.
Maybe. He says it's like I won them myself.
Yeah, he's just like so excited, but it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
He didn't earn them, but he's still just as excited as if he did, so.
Yeah, that might be a thing.
Okay, so we kind of enter the 10-minute mark of the episode. We're halfway through, and things kind of go downhill from here.
So first, there's a confrontation, as Sarah Lynn has finally crossed the line that bothers BoJack.
Mm-hmm.
She stole one of his awards and is disrespecting his show and saying that, I think she says, you're not even a has-been.
Yeah, you have to have been to be a has-been.
Right, and so he's incredibly insulted. The tension in the room skyrockets and then turns sexual as they approach each other and they're like, we are a man and a woman in the house.
Where they keep pointing out, we're not father and daughter.
Right.
We're not related, blah, blah, blah.
You're just a masculine presence in my life. And they're a little bit drunk. And then after that statement, then they just go to making out.
Yeah, they just go to town on each other.
They do.
In the living room.
They do. And... the rest of the episode is how BoJack is fucking his, like, pseudo-daughter.
Yeah, and it keeps happening. There is a scene that we were laughing a lot at where Todd was, like, in the room, in, like, the living room whenever they started making out. And then it was off-screen, so I don't know which one of them was grabbing him, but one of them was, like, pulling Todd in, and I'm not sure.
They start banging in the living room.
Yeah.
Sarah Lynn, the only drug I need is horse.
That was so gross. I really hated hearing that part. But yeah, and then he's like, I don't like this. Please stop. Oh God, now I'm a part of it. And he just sounds terrified.
So they pull him into a threesome. So I'm just noticing this show more and more. Every episode so far has had one sign of a lot of sexual things that are going on.
Kinky stuff. I guess maybe if you are so, like, emotionally, like, I don't know, just, he's so depressed, you gotta do some freaky stuff,
To try to make things exciting.
Yeah.
She rides him like a horse, literally, in one of the pictures that we see at the end.
Like, not, like, riding him, like, on his back.
Yeah, like a horse. Like a horse. How do you think people ride horses? Sorry, I'm just getting distracted by all of that. So just to confirm as we move forward that Todd has been involved in a threesome between BoJack, Todd, and Sarah Lynn.
Apparently. It's not really confirmed how involved he was. He does say later on that it was, like, the worst 2 minutes of his life. And I thought that this meant, like, it took them 2 minutes to, like, let him go, which I thought was funny. And then BoJack says, what? It was more than 2 minutes. And I'm like, oh, okay. He was there, like, the whole time.
Yeah. For the 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So, which is strange.
A little bit.
Come on. It's... What's your endurance, Mr. Horse? Strange. But okay. Anyway, sorry for talking about BoJack's ability to not come on this show.
We're not respectful. Having another cum episode.
Cepisode. That's not as good.
Compisode.
Compisode. An ode to cum and piss.
Stop! God!
I escalated that and I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so here, this is where Todd has the real confrontation and is being the actual voice of reason and ends up having to take an angry nap.
An angry nap, yes.
Yeah.
It looked very nice.
And BoJack and Diane then change the conversation because Diane points out that actually at this point, she thinks that BoJack is actually taking advantage of Sarah Lynn. Because, yeah, she's the one that, like, with a terrible past and addiction to drugs.
daddy issues. And drug problems.
Yes, and BoJack says, well, I also have daddy issues and drug problems.
Or maybe he said drinking problems. Drinking problems. Something like that, yeah.
And,
this is all very Freudian, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit. Like, I mean, yeah, no, there's definitely, like, textual and part of their relationship, that dynamic.
Yeah, it's a huge factor for sure.
And so I think this is the part where we finally get the real confrontation where BoJack says, you have to leave, you can't stay here. And Sarah Lynn says that, okay, she'll just go to one of the, you know, millions of people, like her fans, that will let her throw parties. And actually, that's the thing. There's partying the lemurs are just destroying the house. Yeah, I don't know why.
It's pretty bad.
There's graffiti everywhere saying lemur was here.
Yeah.
We'll
have to look into that lemur thing.
Yeah, so the final moment she sort of walks out is saying that, yeah, it's too late for her because she is at a point in her life where she can just continue avoiding her problems forever because of, you know, circumstances that she's in. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she's just never going to get better until she, like, dies really young, basically.
Yeah, she just goes on this whole speech very nonchalantly about how she'll just be in these situations where she'll never grow as a person. And she'll ignore her problems until she dies tragically young.
Yeah.
And then BoJack gets very sad. And I think that he has a really sudden realization where, like, he thinks, well, that's extreme. And he's like, well, actually, that probably sounds about right. Like, you can see in his face that he's very displeased on hearing that because it sounds, like, pretty realistic.
Yeah. And then she walks out and she leaves.
Yeah, and she gives us her new catchphrase, which I love.
What's her new catchphrase?
Suck a dick, dumb shit.
This is good. Yeah, well, real quick, we have to get to tying off of one of the subplots going on this episode. Oh. Princess Carolyn. Okay, so actually, just the delivery of this is great because she's been told to stand in the corner by Sarah Lynn, which she does. Sarah Lynn says that now she's going to go to her rival, or Princess Carolyn's rival,
Vanessa Gecko,
who's and the agent of Andrew Garfield, right? Yes. And so the door that she's opened to leave covers up Princess Carolyn. It's very disrespectful. Like, just like, you know.
She just chilled behind the door. She's like, okay.
Yeah. And then when the door closes, we see that she's changed into her normal business outfit, right? And we hear her say, oh, great, time to open up with phase two. And reveal that all of this was a deep cover manipulation.
Yep.
In order to get Sarah Lynn to talk to Andrew Garfield's agent, right?
Yeah.
So Andrew Garfield will be mad at his agent and fire her.
And then they can take Andrew Garfield.
Exactly.
And then she hops over the wall of BoJack's place outside, and then she says, like, to make reservations for her and Mr. Garfield, and she says, someplace Italian.
Yeah, it's great. For lasagna.
For the lasagna, yes.
Yeah, which I don't know, it's just great. So, like, so that's what I was saying, is that she was being very bad at being this teenager thing, but I think that was intentional.
Yeah, because Princess Carolyn, she would never be that stupid.
Gaslight,
yes.
She's been girl bossing this whole time. Now she has got gaslighted.
Wow.
The third beat, when we see her gatekeep, It'll be the end.
I say that we take a shot.
Every time that she does either of those three things?
No, whenever we find Gatekeep.
Okay, whenever we find
Gatekeep. A celebratory shot.
A celebratory shot. On air.
Yes.
We have to make, like, little noises as we... What's a shot drinking noise? I was going to say glug, like glug, glug, but I really down. Hope that
I don't think...
someone doesn't go glug, glug, glug with a shot. Because
then you have to take
shot.
Multiple
yeah.
sips of it.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Shots it's actually usually take me like three sips minimum.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
I don't want to speculate on... I don't want to speculate.
What do you mean?
I don't want to elaborate.
What are you talking about?
This does not feel appropriate.
What do you mean?
I'm not going to... I'm going to move on.
Okay. So yeah, then we get brought to our kind of last scene, I believe, that's pretty interesting, where I think it's maybe Princess Carolyn that's... Who was it that started trying to comfort BoJack?
I think it's Diane.
Diane.
It's Diane and Todd that yeah. are still in the room. I think Diane says something about how, like...
The situation's fault.
He's not responsible for the state that Sarah Lynn is in.
Yeah.
Like, at least not solely, anyway. And that a lot of his society. And then BoJack chooses to interpret it as, and I'm going to read more or less a quote.
Okay, yeah.
So he says, I like that. Everything is society's fault. And so no one is responsible for anything because we're all products of our environment. Marbles bouncing around a game of hungry, hungry hippos that is our random and cruel universe. Everything is meaningless. Nothing I do has consequence.
Mm-hmm. So he's just saying that now he's completely just not responsible for his own actions, that it's everyone else's fault. This is obviously kind of a similar concept to something that you kind of believe in.
Yeah, determinism, basically.
Yeah.
More or less.
Which I also kind of agree with. I think that there are... we were talking about this earlier, too. There are explanations for everything, and there are reasons that people do everything. Some of them really uncontrollable. This still doesn't make the things that they did okay or good. They're still bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still responsible for doing those bad things.
Yeah, and that seems to be something, like a question this episode's posing. And I feel like it's something that this show's probably going to wrestle with for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
Of just, like, if, like, your issues... are a result of something else, right? And so are everyone else's issues. Like, mm-hmm. how do you start... Where do you make people take accountability?
Yeah.
I think it's one thing to take accountability for yourself. I think that is, like, a lot easier to have a handle on because you have your own illusion of free will, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to other people, I'm still completely wrestling with that. Like, when do you start blaming people and being like, okay, you can't...
No, I have that... an excuse of... I have that issue, too.
That, the things that caused your problems aren't the like their actions are still bad, even if they are not fully your volition.
Yeah, it's hard because I guess how I try to determine it is I just look at other aspects of themselves apart from that action, and I try to determine, like, you know, how have their other actions and the conversations I've had with them reflected, you know, just virtually how kind of a person they are and how selfless of a person they are. And I feel like that's a really big determiner of who I am okay with spending time with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just like, it's not so black and white, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like assholes, like, no one chooses to be someone that people don't like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, people do, but then it's like, they didn't choose to be the kind of person that chooses to be someone that people don't like,
mm-hmm.
and then that can go on forever. And I don't know where to do accountability. I'm bad at it, and it leads to people taking advantage of me in the same way.
Well,
and
maybe we'll learn a little bit about it in the show.
I hope so, because I would like to solve that conundrum.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and before we move on to the final little image, Diane is about to interject and say, you know, you still have. To take responsibility.
She's like, hold on a second.
And then Todd says, let him have this, right? Mm. So it's like, one, that is very sweet of Todd, because BoJack, you know, otherwise feels very, very responsible for Sarah Lynn.
Yeah, and probably will feel knows terrible. How upset he would
right.
be over the whole thing.
And that's one thing. But then also, I don't know, in the context of, like, this being an episode about accountability and about enabling, right?
Right.
Is Todd enabling him here?
By
letting him live in this fantasy that he doesn't have any responsibilities?
Possibly. I mean, maybe Todd is coming from a similar position as, like, kind of what I was just saying of, like, if you don't already know, if you don't know somebody well enough, then it's really easy to excuse their actions because you're assuming that there is a better person underneath and that that is just, that they're just a victim of circumstance. But yeah, I think that right now Todd just doesn't know BoJack well enough to assume the worst about him. And he's very much a silver linings guy. So he wants him to be gentle on himself. But really, at this point, like, BoJack should be taking accountability. Also, that just reminded me that it is revealed earlier that BoJack has a guest room.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd is like, wait, he's been apparently living on his couch for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I do like how he never realized that there was a guest room. I mean, maybe BoJack was just like, don't go over there. And Todd was like, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the last part. There is something that I literally am so excited to talk about. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't know why it's really funny. I like to talk about this because I figured it out.
Okay.
Which is crazy because I'm not very smart.
Okay.
So I'm just, yeah. But the last scene, we see the paparazzi got pictures of Sarah Lynn and BoJack having sex.
Right.
That's the last part, right? So I was thinking.
The horseback riding.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of times there is a reason why the animals have the certain rules that they do. So I was like, why are the birds paparazzi? Yeah.
Okay, well, the part that I want to focus on myself is how the birds fly, which is they fly like normal birds, except they have like human arms.
Human bodies. It's pretty funny.
They don't have like wings. They have arms that are colored like wings, and then they flap them and they fly, and they're wearing full suits. It's great.
It is great.
But why are the birds paparazzi?
I don't know if this is canon or whatever.
Okay.
Bird watchers.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's it. Yeah, they have. They, yep. That's the end.
Bird watchers.
Bird watchers.
Yeah. I'm assuming. I don't know.
No, that makes sense. Why not? Like, I can't think of any better reason.
Some super obscure, like, reference to some bullshit. I don't know.
Why are the penguins of that publishing company penguins?
I have no... The penguins of Penguin Publishing.
Well, yeah, obviously they're called Penguin Publishing in universe, but I have no idea what they could be representing.
Right.
What, are you suggesting that there's a publishing company named Penguin? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's kind of absurd.
That's absurd.
Who would
name that? Actually, tangent real quick, small one. So the Penguin Publishing Company, the first book that I remember associating with it was, I forget the name of it, but it's a book about the guy who gets like 100 penguins or something. Do you know that
Oh,
book?
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name? Mr. Popper's.
Yeah, something. Mr. Popper's something Popper, penguins.
Poppins.
What? Poppin' penguins? I don't know.
Poppin'. Poopoo penguins.
Did you just say poopoo penguins?
I'm tired.
Well, we had cum, piss, and poop, so there we go. Trifecta. Anyway, so I associated that with that book, right? So I was really confused. Like, I didn't know what a publishing company was yet, right? And so I was just confused. It was like, this extended universe of Mr. Poppins Penguins. Like, but these books have nothing to do with the penguins. Y'all read, like, Catcher in the Rye, and I'm like, where are the penguins?
Oh, don't even bring J.D. Salinger in this,
no,
bro.
No.
Don't bring him.
I'm sorry. Okay, that is most of the content of the episode. I do want to... There's a couple of things that did come up during the show. One is Shouts and Murmurs. It gets mentioned twice
as a satirical... What that is.
I did look it up, and it seems... I don't know. I suppose we should do some quick research right now.
Yeah, I was going to, and I forgot.
So apparently, Shouts and Murmurs is a column of The New Yorker. I have no idea why that's significant. That's something that we should look into.
Yes, we should.
But now we've identified it, and it comes up a couple times whenever someone's funny, and they're like, you should write for Shouts and Murmurs. It's strange.
Dorks.
The other two things I just want to jot down.
Mm.
One is way to harsh the vibe, Kissinger. It's just a very specific, like, statement. It's
I
just,
don't remember that.
I think it's, like, BoJack being like, hey, don't have a crazy party that, like, destroys my entire house.
Right.
And she's like, don't harsh the vibe, Kissinger. Which is, I think it's referencing Henry Kissinger, but, like, why? And the last thing, this is not one of the jokes. When they're on that bench, Sarah Lynn, it seems like it's a thread for later, obviously. But that a mutual friend of theirs, I think associated with the show.
Herb Kazaz,
has cancer, has yes. ass cancer. Very specifically. Why did I laugh at that? That's dumb. I hate that. I hate that I choked.
Well, the bit was, it was funny.
It
but
was about ass cancer.
Yeah, that's definitely relevant. It's the first time that I don't know if it's the first time Herb is mentioned. I feel like it is. And I'm excited to get more into that. But yeah, she mentions that Herb has about roughly 6 months left to live. She doesn't seem to care too much, but BoJack seems really distraught and almost anxious upon hearing that sort of news. So yeah, we'll learn more about that later on.
That's all I have for the episode. Is there anything else you want to mention about content?
Not about the episode, no.
Okay. So let's get into the discussion from listeners.
I have something really, really exciting to talk about far as that goes. It's not that exciting, but it's just funny. So we discussed, this came up in our Discord and I did some research on it and it was, I definitely want to learn a little bit more, but so there's the whale in the last episode, the news reporter.
Right.
Right. His name is Tom Jumbo Grumbo.
Good.
So he's a news reporter for MSNBC.
Right.
So we were talking about how they were shitting on MSNBC the whole episode. Somebody brought to our attention, because we were both like wondering about that. And the guy who voices Tom Jumbo Grumbo, he actually used to be a journalist, I believe, for MSNBC. And he got, I believe he got fired because he was donating money to like a Democratic thing, and they were saying that that like made him like it made him biased, you know,
right? As a journalist,
yeah. So he got really upset about that. I was researching this guy. He works for ESPN now.
Okay.
There were some people in our Discord saying that that was why they actually watched the show.
Because of the talking whale.
Yeah,
I see.
Because of Keith Olbermann. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I was looking at his Twitter and it is, he's so cool. Every time that I like look up somebody that's been on the show, they're always so based and like so smart and he's super cool.
You're
grimacing.
No, I wasn't. That's just my face. That's just my face.
It's not your face.
It's my face.
I guess a lot of them share this in common, the people that have worked on the show, but they post a lot about just, I guess, politics and things like that. They speak out about a lot of really important issues. Also, the bulk of his Twitter page, and I'm sure that there's a reason for this. I couldn't figure it out, but he, like, I think 90% of his posts are, like, adoption photos of animals.
What?
Yeah, he, like, retweets, like, this animal shelter or something, and it'll be like, oh, like, meet Luna, she's shy and blah 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 and like needs a home. They're like putting her down in a week. Like they'll literally say they're killing her in 9 days. And I don't know. I just think like that's not what I was expecting to see whenever I looked at this ESPN.
Yeah.
Reporter.
Right. It's being based and then calls to save animals.
Little puppies
from the guillotine. Wait, do you think that more pets would be adopted if we started executing them via guillotine? And then people, because they would like freak people out, be like, oh my god, we gotta save it from the guillotine.
Probably.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Rather than just like the humane way, which is just like lets people ignore the problem.
Yeah, I feel like the humane way, I mean, is probably, I mean, it's just
You could do both. You could first euthanize them and then guillotine them for... Yeah. This is horrible. It's for a dramatic effect.
You could use that little bagel guillotine that you guys have because it's so tiny.
It's terrible.
Well, the small dog, can you use like the small ones in like a human size? Like, are we going to have to make dog guillotines?
Yes, obviously.
So we can use like the bagel ones. We can repurpose them. Alex got a, well, it was your brother, right?
I guess so.
Your brother got a bagel guillotine. It literally looks like a little guillotine and it's to cut bagels.
Does it look like a guillotine?
Yeah.
Is
that what
it
looks like?
How big do you think it is? Do you think it's about the size of a dog's head?
I would say it's about the size of a bagel.
Cool.
It's like maybe a chihuahua's head.
That's terrible.
You're the one who brought up using a guillotine. Wait, you're
getting so into this.
I'm just trying to be logical here.
I was logical too. I'm pragmatic. So.
So you're against repurposing the bagel? I'm sure that no one is using those bagel guillotines. They could call for like a donation of bagel guillotines, which would be a subtle way of letting the public know what they're doing.
So in the news, with no editorializing, in the news would be Kill Shelter buys thousands of bagel guillotines. More at 11.
And this is all announced by Keith Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann, the whale.
Yeah, the whale. Okay. Tom Jumbo Grumbo. That's what I call him.
Shut up. Hey, shut up.
So, yeah, we did not get any discussion about my question, which is fair.
Your riddle.
Yeah, my riddle. I guess we will talk about that in a year.
In a year. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the discussion question was, what do we think of BoJack's statement? How does intent and self-awareness factor into someone's, like, goodness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about that topic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing. I know that you have a lot to say about it.
About what?
just, like, that whole thing about... Yeah, like what you just said with, are you a better person for realizing that you're doing shitty things? Mm-hmm. Or is it better if you are doing those shitty things, but you're, I guess, too dumb
is really that more excusable? Realize it? And BoJack says no. So I'm wondering, how do you think that affects this episode? Like, Sarah Lynn is aware that she's a terrible person, I think.
Yeah.
I think she is, and she just does not...
Which I think literally does make her worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I do, because she fully recognizes that what she's doing is hurting people, and that mm-hmm. she is doing bad things, and that she's treating herself poorly, too. And she doesn't even seem like she's considering changing any of that.
Actually, it does occur to me. So mm-hmm. BoJack's, like, realization at the end of, I can do anything with no consequences. And of course, we immediately see that there are consequences.
Yeah.
But because it's everything's society's fault, nothing is his fault. And that's exactly what Sarah Lynn is doing. She's saying, I was messed up by my childhood, mm-hmm. and now it is impossible for me to try to save myself.
Yeah.
And no one can save me either. And so this is just what's going to happen now.
Now she may as well just...
Yeah, continue it.
Yep.
Decide not to go to rehab or anything, which was not very effective. She was there for 18 days, and she, after 1 hour out of it, she was...
Yeah, she's taking a lot of tons of pills from her Doctor Who. Yeah, Doctor Who.
Yeah, some doctor at a party who prescribed her some medicine.
Yeah, we should watch Doctor Who.
Should we?
Yes, I love Doctor Who.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. It's an all right show.
It's all on HBO Max
for like one or two seasons.
This has been sponsored by HBO Max.
Okay. Discussion question I want to pose is, so as we said just a minute ago, in response to BoJack's statement about how everything is society's fault, mm-hmm. and that means that nothing is his fault, and everything is meaningless, nothing has consequences, Todd says that to let him have it, right? Let him have that sort of realization so he doesn't feel guilty about Sarah Lynn. And so my question is, like, is that the right thing to do? Is it the right thing to let BoJack sort of have that as his perspective? Or should Todd have allowed Diane to interject and say, actually, you still have responsibility?
Yeah. And I'm curious, this whole predicament is going to affect the show at all and kind of how things turn out for BoJack and the rest of the characters. I haven't really ever looked into how much that has impacted the plot line, but yeah, I would like to hear predictions from people who haven't seen it, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good question to move forward with. And yeah, the reason that we don't full on go addressing the statement in the first place is because kind of a broad topic, and I feel like the show is going to address it over time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't solve the determinism issue in one
BoJack analysis.
One BoJack analysis. Yeah, a single like in a sitcom. You just like an open end. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You solve it. We've returned to a status quo. So if you want to respond to the discussion question, we are going to be posting them on the BoJack Horseman subreddit, so reddit.com/r/BoJackHorseman. So we're posting them under discussion question threads, ideally so that people don't get annoyed by seeing our podcast logo every single week. So please leave your discussion there and then we can have some back and forth and stuff. Discussion also continues on the Doof Media Discord, and you can join there for free by going to doofmedia.com/discord. What are some of the other ways that we can be reached?
You can also reach us on Twitter at VHDcast, or you can email us at halfwaydowncast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you would like to support the show, you can do that in a couple ways. One is by leaving a rating and review on whatever app that you use to listen to this. Another is to donate to the Doof Media Patreon, because it provides a lot of funding for us to do different things, buy our equipment, pay for like the rentals for movies and
pay
such.
Pay for my muffins pay from for the your last muffins. Episode, which we did get permission to comp.
Thank you,
I
Scott.
I will not actually be comping them, but I appreciate the gesture.
Yes. Yeah, that was a good time. And of course, there's a lot of other things going on at Doof Media. I'm excited for this week because we should be guesting on an episode of the Doofcast to talk about the French Dispatch, mm-hmm. Which we enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, it's actually, the French Dispatch is my, well, I think it is my favorite Wes Anderson film.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just had recently an episode on the Grand Budapest Hotel, which you gave me a wonderful book about, and I really, yes. really appreciate that. I'm very excited to read it.
Yeah, hopefully there's something in there that maybe we'll be able to talk about as far as just Wes Anderson in general on mm-hmm. the show.
I was thinking, so we the other day we also just watched The House, which is on Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is a stop motion horror
it was
anthology
crazy
movie.
Crazy good.
It was really good.
Really good.
I was not in a very good, I would not like to elaborate on what state I was, but I was not, it freaked me out a bit, in a good way, in a very like self-reflective way.
Yeah.
But it was extremely uncomfortable at times.
Yeah, there was like one scene in particular that just like definitely was just really upsetting to me.
In the second part.
Yeah, it was great that I haven't really been able to stop thinking about it. And we were actually talking a little bit before that about, I guess, the trope of like infestation and insects in horror. And that's a really interesting concept to me. So, yeah, I think we were thinking about doing some sort of show where we talk about it a little bit.
Because it fucked with me a lot. And I would like.
Great.
I feel like I need to talk about this not only from an analytical perspective, but just as a sort of like a talk therapy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. But okay, so if you want to see all the cool stuff that's going on at Doof Media, we have a calendar on the website that you can go check it out. We have a lot of other podcasts going on. And maybe check out Do the Right Thing, my other podcast.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm on there sometimes.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, no, that was a really good episode. I enjoyed it a lot.
That was a bad episode.
It was great. It was a good time.
Worst episode to Do the Right Thing ever,
it's
really.
A good time. okay, I think that's all we've got.
Yeah.
I keep feeling like there's like another thing to mention, but
there
I can't remember.
There is actually a very important animal fact
oh, yes.
of the day.
So please, what is our animal fact that we're leaving this episode on?
Today's fun animal fact is that due to evolving in volcanic conditions, armadillos can withstand up to 350 degrees Fahrenheit.
Thank you. so serious.
Well, they could die.